You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, more than 30 states have finished redrawing their electoral maps ahead of the midterms. One thing is clear, more seats and more counties are far less competitive. Find out about the divided maps and what they mean for your vote today at 6 on 1A+. Now, a few weeks back, we talked to the authors of a book on the benefits of music for our mental, emotional, and physical well-being, and we heard from some of you with the stories of music in your life. They were great, and now we want more. So we're opening up the phone lines for your musical story at 800-642-1234. How do you use music in your life? When do you listen to music? Do you have particular kinds of music for specific activities, like maybe driving, housework, cooking? How about exercise? Has your relationship with music changed over time? Do you not listen at all? I used to do this. Just sit and listen to music alone or with friends? Like, I can't remember the last time I did that. Maybe I should do it again. Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We asked around here at Wisconsin Public Media to hear some stories. Susanna Michaels on the WPR fundraising team shared hers.
My name is Susanna, and I participate in a group of people who get together on Zoom on Wednesday evenings, and we dance. And we need people to make playlists for these dances, and I don't know much about music, but I stepped up to be a playlist maker. And my first playlist contained every dancey song I knew. And now I'm on my 13th playlist, and I don't even know the artists on a lot of my lists anymore. I just find them. I have my ways, and I search out new music. And I workshop my playlists in my own kitchen while I'm cooking or between work. I swap songs around. I swap them in and out of the list. And I'm just amazed that there's a finite number of notes in the musical scale, and yet they can be combined in seemingly infinite ways. And I'm amazed that I'm in my 50s, and for the first time ever, I'm making playlists. And I know that taste is subjective, but I think my mixes are smoking hot. And that's my musical story.
Thanks, Susanna. One of the songs from your playlist there. How about you? What is the role of music in your life? When do you listen? Why do you listen? What does it do for you? Have you discovered new music lately? How do you discover new music? Tell us about it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We heard from Kate in Barneville. This is a good story. Kate says, I'm an unapologetic music junkie. I grew up loving opera and folk music, moved toward edgier, politicized music in my college years. Now my kids have brought me to enjoy rap, pop, and country. I don't think there are any genres I can't enjoy and find value in. Kate says, all genres can help us understand our world better and connect us more deeply. I love that, Kate. Thanks for sharing that. And I look back at my life and sometimes where I like restricted myself by genre and didn't seek things out, and like I missed a lot. But the downside is there's so much music out there. How can you keep up with all of it? Well, share your story now. Thanks for that, Kate, at 800-642-1234. How does music fit in to your life? Let's go to your calls now. Jack is with us in Madison. Jack, hello.
Hi there.
What did you want to tell us about?
Right. I was going to say, you know, music is really cool and fascinating. For me, I tend to be a pretty heavy rock listener in general. I should say next to NPR and WPR, my favorite station is 101.5. I hope that isn't kind of any accidental endorsement or
judges,
whatever, but
we'll allow that, Jack. That's fine.
Okay, good. Yeah, but yeah, I've always liked rock, although I'm also very much a jazz and, you know, folk music aficionado. I've really gotten into grunge rock in recent years, especially like Pearl Jam, the Foo Fighters and whatnot. And so I think it's just really cool and fascinating thinking about how, you know, different genres of music, you know, speak to particular people and sort of what it's like when you're listening to their songs and, you know, you try and, I guess, understand their musical choices, what they choose to do, and then sort of how you interpret music. And it's just really fascinating, like, thinking about
cool
the role that music plays in our lives and what it means to us.
And Jack, can I ask, when are you usually listening? Is it driving or around the house, or what are you doing when you're listening?
You know, Rob, just about whenever, but I'd say most commonly when I'm driving to work or to see friends, or occasionally I'll turn the radio on when I'm doing stuff at home or at a coffee shop, but it's mostly in transit.
Awesome. Jack, thank you so much for sharing that at 800-642-1234. We're asking you to share your story. The lines are open for you about how you use music in your life, how you enjoy music, how you find new music, what you do when you're listening. 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page where we heard from Gabe. Gabe writes, "Music is at the center of everything I do and easily my favorite thing, period." Gabe says, "I listen to music several hours a day every day. When I'm not listening to it, it's stuck in my head. I play music in a band. I spend a lot of money on music and music-related merchandise, stereo equipment, etc. It's everything to me." Gabe, thanks. I love it. Thanks for sharing that story at 800-642-1234. Let's hear from another one of our colleagues now, Clinton Walls from over at PBS Wisconsin. He's big in the vinyl records.
So music has a huge role in my life. And while streaming has become the most convenient way to listen or discover new music, I never left the physical format, and my library of LPs is near 1,000 records. I don't really stream or binge watch shows. I find that listening to music is more relaxing to me, and honestly, it just gets me away from a screen. I've come to prefer records because at about 20 minutes aside, I know I have to get up and flip it. So I find I'm more intentional about my selection and a more dedicated listener, which, along with a tangible cover to hold and liner notes to read, I think it increases my appreciation and enjoyment. But it's also a hobby and a social thing. I much prefer to support brick-and-mortar stores than buy online, and visiting a store in a new city is always a thrill, because no two stores are alike, and you never know what you're going to find there or what you're going to come home with. And I geek out when I find albums that I like that still have the original plastic and the promotional hype stickers on them. I've actually become really good friends with some of the clerks and owners at the local stores, and I have a favorite message board with music nerds just like me that share hundreds of conversations about music or specific masterings, which has become a part of my daily online activity. So, yeah, it's kind of a thing with me.
Thanks for that, Clint. Clint recommended the Sanford & Son theme song for his clip, one of the two best TV show theme songs of all time. Let's go back to your calls now. Your music story at 800-642-1234. Joanna is with us in Verona. Joanna, hi.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. What's your music story, Joanna?
So my music story is my music history. Parents listened to Big Bang. Big Band. So I goofed on that when I was little. Grew up in the 70s listening to my sister's music. Then my brother's, more of a heavy metal vibe, and then just finding my own way. I mean, I have, you know how you hear a song that you haven't heard in a while, and it instantly connects to something in your past?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I love. You know, so there's music for every part of my life that has to do with my family or where I was at the time the song came out.
Can you give us an example, like one particular song or artist that really takes you back and connects you?
The first time I heard Holiday, I was, my husband was, he was my boyfriend at the time. He was working and I was sitting in his car waiting for him to get done.
And this is Madonna's Holiday?
Correct.
Okay. Oh, that's a great, great memory to take you back to. Thank you so much for sharing that, Joanna. I appreciate it. Let's go to Diane now in New Auburn. Diane, hi. Are you there, Diane? Oh, I think we lost Diane. Maybe she started listening to something instead of talking to us. Jim is with us then in Cedarburg. Jim, hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, I'm a boomer, and you talk about the Beatles. And the reason I think they are the phenomenon that they are to this day is going back to when they came to America. Ed Sullivan and all. There's a song that puts it in perspective quite aptly. It's called Life in a Northern Town. When they say, in the winter 1963, we felt like the world would freeze with John F. Kennedy and the Beatles. And really, it's what the whole nation needed at that time.
Wow. Jim, what do you go back and listen to? If you say to yourself, I want to hear some Beatles now, what do you reach for first?
Oh, well, Rob, it doesn't matter. I'll do their individual stuff. I mean, I go back to, I want to hold your hand. Doesn't matter. I just, because I grew up with them,
I love it.
And quite honestly, as a kid, I didn't know. I didn't know that they were the phenomenon that they were. As a kid, you just take it as it comes. But nobody could do what Lennon McCartney did. No.
Thanks so much for sharing that memory, Jim. I appreciate it. We are taking your calls about the role of music in your life. You can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. When and where do you listen to music? Is there something that gets you pumped up for exercise, calmed down for bedtime? Do you ever just listen? And as we heard from a couple callers, is there music you associate with a particular time in your life, a memory, a loved one? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're taking your calls about the ways you use music in your life. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Tell us how music fits into your daily routine. What is special about it? How do you find new music? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. Want to hear from another one of our colleagues, Christy Moll, from our Member Drive team.
Music is life. There is a song for every feeling, every event, every experience, every mood. It never fails me. It is my constant companion, and I do a kind of dance called ecstatic dance, where me and a group of people will dance to pretty much all kinds of music. We take turns putting together playlists, and it's a really fun invitation to try to find rhythms in songs that you typically wouldn't listen to, and try to connect and just see what happens. So it's a beautiful microcosm of life, and it's a really fun way to experience music.
Thanks for the story, Christy. Now back to your calls. Tucker is with us in Madison. Hi, Tucker.
Hi, thanks for having me. A previous caller mentioned the nostalgic power of music, and I think a lot of people can relate to sometimes it's almost too much and painful nostalgia if it's associated with a person or a time or a place. And sometimes it can be almost too much to listen to it. But I find that if you take a break, maybe a couple of years or just however long, and come back, when there's more space between you and those feelings, you can kind of acknowledge the power that that music had, but kind of reclaim it for the present. And I feel like that's a really powerful feeling, and it kind of feels like growth. So I just wanted to kind of connect it to that. Thanks.
That's lovely, Tucker. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, giving it some time, some room to breathe if it's too painful in the short run. Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Elsbeth joins us now in Port Washington. Elsbeth, hi.
Hello. Well, I just wanted to share that I'm a trauma survivor. I have a wonderful trauma therapist, and so I will quote her. She said, "For you, Elsbeth, music is medicine." And she's so very right. Everything from Aretha Franklin to Miriam Makeba to Beethoven's Ninth. It is medicine.
I'm so happy to hear that for you, Elsbeth. How do you know in a moment which prescription of music you need to reach for?
Well, I don't always know. I sort of have an intuitive sense. If it doesn't feel right, then I always have lots of other choices. So that's how I work it.
Wonderful. Elsbeth, I'm glad you found music as a healing power. That is great to hear. Thanks for your call at 800-642-1234. Our question for you, where does music fit into your life? How do you use it? When do you listen to it? How do you find new stuff? What memories do you connect with music? And like Elsbeth, does it have healing power for you? call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jim next in Franklin. Jim, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What's your story, Jim?
Well, I was listening to the gentleman before talking about the Beatles, and I'm not particularly with one song, but I like Rubber Soul, Abbey Road. I play those all the time. Moody Blues, Days of Futures Past, anything from them would be great, and that kind of helped me go through a pretty tough time in my life. And those three albums are actually my favorite. Anything by those three, you know, are fantastic, and I thoroughly enjoy them.
Can I ask Jim, if I may ask your age, like, are these things you grew up with, or did you, like, I listened to those things, like, I listened to a lot of Moody Blues in my dad's collection. Was it part of your childhood or something you discovered later?
Well, I'm 72 years old, so I don't know how you want to word that, but I mean, I enjoy all music, but those are actually my favorite two groups.
I got to see the Moody Blues once, actually. It was pretty cool.
Yes,
it was a great show.
I've seen them once, and then the last year and a half ago, we were in, went to Illinois, and they had a Moody group, like look-alike.
Like a tribute group.
And they played, we're a tribute group, and they played very good music. We went there, and it was worth every penny of the 2-hour drive and parking and walking to it. But yeah, those groups tend to they bring out a lot of emotion in me. So
fantastic, Jim. Thank you so much for sharing that. It sounds like a great road trip, too. We are taking your stories of music and your life, where music fits into your life, day to day, or as we heard from a lot of our callers, your past and present and future, days of future past. That was Moody Blues, right? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Liz joins us next in Holman. Liz, hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. What's your music story, Liz?
Well, first of all, I like pretty much every style and type of music out there. I was lucky to be raised by a dad who was born, oh gosh, I hate to say I was the Oaks child, and I'm old now. So my dad died back in 1979, I guess it was. No, 82, I'm sorry. And he was 70 years old. So it gives you an idea. But when I was young, he always told me that if somebody somewhere can call it music, there has to be something good about it. And so I've learned, and that's kind of the way I grew up. I love all kinds of music. So that being said, a lot of music I use kind of like dictates my mood or helps define my mood, shall I say. So I have a rough day, I might put on some hard rock or something like that, kind of lets me bang it out a little bit or something. But real quick, some songs that just kind of bring back memories. I've been really going back in my past and loving Chicago. Love that brass sound. Love that rhythm that they had. Makes me smile, not to quote one of my favorite songs, but yes, Make Me Smile by Chicago. And it's just those kind of eternal bands, the ones that still go out there now and still can sell records. And they have that great sound that never goes away. And it just, you know, that's the stuff that I go back to and allows me to center myself and makes me happy.
Liz, thanks so much for sharing that. And I love just the open attitude toward different kinds of music. I appreciate that. At 800-642-1234. That's still time for your call. If you call in right now at 800-642-1234, share your story of your relation with music. Kathy is with us now in Appleton. Kathy, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I can relate to a couple of the other callers here. I also grew up with music. My dad was played the accordion, and so every Sunday, of course, when he'd play, we'd have to dance along with that music.
Oh, okay.
And my parents also listened to a variety of music. We had a hi-fi stereo, of course, back then. And so, and my brother took guitar lessons, and he and I would sing. Well, I can relate to the woman who called out long ago who talked about music as healing, because about 10 years ago, my parents died within 2 months of each other, and I was really mired in grief for a long time, and then I just remembered how much music helped me heal, and I signed up for guitar lessons. I learned how to play the guitar, and I started writing music, and the first song I wrote was about my mother. So I use music is therapy for me as well, and I listen to all kinds of music, everything from Beatles to Bach. So public radio is one of my favorite stations, of course, because of the classical music. So,
Kathy, thank you for sharing that. What a lovely way to deal with grief. I'm glad I heard that story. Thank you. Let's go now to Dan in Green Bay. Dan, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to just share the power of James Taylor. I don't know if there's any other major James Taylor fans out there, but he's touring right now, and we got to see him with Jackson Browne here in November. Ooh. And he just puts on an amazing, amazing show. He and Jackson Browne and his son Henry was there, but it just reminds me of my college years. So about 10 years ago, we got to see him at the Widener Center, got the tickets at the last day, and we were 20 rows back in the middle. And it was just him, a piano and a guitar, a projector and a screen in front of him, and that was amazing. And then, so just reminds me of my college years, and I got to share it with my wife, and one of my sons went there, so it was kind of neat to pass that.
Awesome.
They had no clue who he was. Neither did my wife. She thought it was You've Got a Friend was the song from Toy Story. She had it all goofed up.
Dan, thanks a lot. Glad you had the opportunity to see him again, too. Hey, thanks for everybody for calling in. You can keep sharing your music stories right now. You can head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Maybe we could share some of them on the air. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We're firing up the slow cooker. Get some great recipes and advice for using our crock pots and such like. That's tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we learn a year's worth of new ways to walk that can make us happier, healthier, and just better off. Then we look at why many of Wisconsin's rural towns have impressively high walkability scores. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Republicans are divided over a move to punish two members of their own party who are investigating the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. We'll talk to a political scientist about that and divisions over the 2020 elections among Wisconsin Republicans. First, when was the last time you went for a completely different kind of walk? Maybe walking in a different place, walking through deep snow, going on a guided tour, something out of the ordinary. Did you feel any different afterwards? Better? Think more clearly? How do you think it would change you to walk differently each week for a year? Our guest has been doing that and has some suggestions to help us out. I want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. In a bit, we're going to talk about the walkability of Wisconsin communities. Are there places to walk to where you live? Do you have to drive to go for a walk? Tell us about it. Tell us how walkable your local area is at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Annabelle Streets is the author of multiple fiction and nonfiction books, including The Age Well Project and The Joyce Girl. Her latest book, out later this month, is called 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy, One Week at a Time. I talked with her earlier today. You talk in your book about when walking became such a big interest for you after a lot of driving and sitting. Can you tell us what sparked your love of walking?
Well, it started really with some very, very bad backache, which I think is really common now. If you're spending your days sitting, lots of people are getting very bad lower back pain. And mine became so bad that I could actually hardly walk. So it sort of became a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The only thing I could do really was to walk. I tried every sort of treatment, nothing worked. And in the end, I was told just to walk more, and I started walking all the time. Journeys I had done by car that I thought, needed a car, I started walking them to sort my back out. And I realized I had all these epiphanies, and I realized that all these journeys that I thought required a car didn't require a car at all. They were often 5 minutes away or 10 minutes away. And often I found that when I was going somewhere on foot, it was actually quicker than by the time I'd, you know, found my car keys and then gone and got the car started and then maneuvered out of the parking space and then tried to find another parking space. And all in all, walking seemed to be much simpler and faster, and it cured my backache.
It cured your backache, but you found, as you did this walking project, you found more than health benefits. Can you talk about some of the other things you gained by walking much more than you had?
Yeah. Oh, so many benefits. I mean, one of the very simple things that perhaps doesn't occur to most of us, I met my neighbors. I discovered everyone in my street. So before I had literally walked out of my front door and got straight in the car and, you know, I didn't really see anyone. Suddenly I was walking up and down and I was chatting to people in front gardens and saying hi as people brought their bins out. And so I started to know my community in a completely different way. So that was something that I just hadn't anticipated at all. And I found from that, just starting the day with a little bit of chit chat or a bit of banter, if you like, or just smiling and saying hello to people that all of a sudden I knew, although I had lived next door to them rather embarrassingly for a very long time, that also made me feel much happier. It's just a really cheerful way to start your day is to walk out of your front door and smile and say hello to two or three people. I then progressed. I started smiling and saying hello to people I didn't know. So anyone passing the street, I would smile and say, good morning. And 9 times out of 10, they replied to me with quite a lot of enthusiasm. And I thought, gosh, we need this. We need this interaction. We need this social communication. And so that was another revelation. And then there were just lots and lots of revelations. I started looking around and looking at the architecture and looking at the plant life and hearing birds. So I suddenly felt as though I was living in a completely different city.
We're talking to Annabelle Streets about her new book, 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy, 1 Week at a Time. Annabelle, the heart of your book is these 52 different ways, things to think about while we're walking. And it's like you were thinking about Wisconsin in February here. Your first chapter is about walking in the cold. Why did you start there?
Well, when I discovered this sudden passion for walking, I also discovered that a lot of people didn't want to walk with me in certain weather conditions. So whenever I had a walk booked with a friend or a member of my family and we would agree, let's go for a little walk at 9 o'clock, they would call me and say, oh, it's raining. I don't think I can come out in the rain. And I thought, this is just so strange. Or, it's too cold for me, or it's too dark. Or, there were so many reasons. Oh, I've just eaten a meal. I don't think I can go for a walk. So I just thought, what if all of these reasons, these excuses that people are giving me, what if they are all actually a reason to walk? So I just started, as you do, sitting on my laptop and drilling down into lots of different medical studies and research reports, and it's all there. There's a lot of universities doing a lot of really interesting work, and it's not widely known about. So I stumbled across lots of reports showing what happens to us when we walk in the cold, what happens to us when we walk in the rain, what happens when we're out in the snow, what happens when we're out in the dark, and how these tiny little, well, sometimes tiny, sometimes large changes in weather can change things physiologically in our body, and also they can change our mood. So I'll give you a really simple example. I'm sitting here now in the dark. I'm about to go for a walk. I always go for a walk in the evening. So going out in the dark actually helps us to release melatonin, which then helps us to sleep better at night.
Fantastic.
So that was another thing I'm really enjoying now is my night walks, my evening walks.
Now, another thing I never really thought of, this is early in the book, to improve our gait, our walking style. And, when I walk, I guess I just walk and my shoe wear shows me that I walk kind of weird, but I never really thought about walking better. How do we analyze our own walking style to get, to make our walking better?
Well, you can work with a walking coach, and there are quite a few on YouTube. So I just discovered I discovered two people, actually, one woman on YouTube and another woman. I just met her walking in the park, and she said to me, I'm a walking coach. She said, I'll just sort your walking out. And I was a bit like, but I'm, you know, we can all walk. And she said, oh, no, we're not all walking properly. And that can damage us. It can make walking feel much less comfortable. So as she pointed out, you know, if you really want to fall in love with walking, it has to feel really easy and really natural. And so she worked with me, showing me how to, you know, literally how to roll through my foot, how to put my foot down and roll through it using all of my toes, not just, you know, not just, I was a bit pigeon-toed, so I sort of turned in. And then she showed me how to move my arms and how to hold my head up and how to work on my posture so that my lower back was completely supported and my abdominals were working and all of these things that I'd never thought about. And the other really interesting thing was, because we're all spending, particularly during the pandemic, we're spending so much time at home, you know, folded over laptops, you're hunched and we're not sitting properly and our lighting's not correct and we're not working with the right PCs, you're on laptops, so they're all at the wrong height. When you stand up after a day on your laptop, your posture is completely skewed. You know, your head is shoved forward, your shoulders are rounded. So to walk out straight into the street and have a walk like that is not particularly good for you. You need to sort of shuffle out of that posture and realign yourself and then start walking, if that makes sense.
Sure. Now, another thing I love, and this comes up in a lot of your chapters, a lot of your weeks of walking, paying attention to our senses and what we're detecting. And that could be sight and sound and even smell. How do we just get out of that mindset of like, okay, I'm walking from point A to point B and not really paying attention to what's in between?
Well, I suppose the first thing is I would pick off one sense at a time, because to walk out and think, right, I'm going to really focus on what I can hear and what I can see and what I can smell and what I can touch is a bit too much. So a really easy one to start with is to focus on smelling, because one of the things we need to think about when we walk is also how we breathe. So it's quite nice that you can combine the two. You can think about your breathing. And as you are breathing through your nose, please, as you're breathing through your nose, you can also concentrate on the smells that are coming in. Now, obviously, this is much nicer to do really when you're in the country or you're by the sea. It's not quite so perfect in the city, but there are still lots of really interesting smells. So I found a woman, a doctor, she's a doctor of, I call her a doctor of smells. I'm not sure she would call herself that. And she said, I'm going to take you on a guided smell walk. And like you at that stage, I was thinking, smell, what? And so we went round. She took me to a city I didn't know. And we walked around, and sometimes she blindfolded me. She said, it's really important that you stop, you know, you stop looking sometimes and you just close your eyes and even put your hands in your ears and just smell. And so together we went round and we put our noses into dustbins and pizza shops and coffee shops and cake shops, and we just focused on smelling, and it was an absolute revelation. And now wherever I walk, I, you know, I'm always stopping and just, you know, really, really trying to smell in the way that a perfumier would smell. They use a special little technique of sort of doing multiple little sniffs. And so I will quite often use that, particularly if I'm walking near something that I think might have some smell. And rain is fantastic. Rain releases a lot of scent and perfume that you can't smell normally. So if you go out when it's raining, or even better, immediately after a downpour, you will find a whole new world of scent that you might not have noticed if you stayed in your house.
That's some great inspiration for our next walk. Annabelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Annabelle Streets, author of 52 Ways to Walk, The Surprising Science of Walking for Wellness and Joy One Week at a Time. I talked to her earlier today. Next, we'll hear from a researcher with an appetite for visiting rural Wisconsin communities for a look at the walkability of downtown areas around the state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Where you live, is it a good place to walk? Are there places to walk to from your front door? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We just heard about the benefits of walking and how to shake up our walking routines. Now we'll head to communities around the state to find out how walkable they are. Our next guest looked at walkability scores for communities in Wisconsin, found that a lot of smaller towns and cities have good downtowns for walking. How's yours? 800-642-1234. What is your favorite downtown, whether that's a big city or small town in the state, to go for a walk-in, whether it's yours or somebody else's? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Is there good walking where you are? John Johnson is a research fellow at Marquette University's Lubar Center. He wrote about his findings for the Marquette University Law School faculty blog. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
What goes into this walk score website that you pulled some of this data from?
Yeah, WalkScore is a website that's been around for a while. You can punch in an address or sort of specify just the downtown of a particular place, and it'll pull together a score from 0 to 100 based on the number of things that you can walk to, like daily conveniences like grocery stores, bars, restaurants, parks. It uses the things that are put onto Google Maps, which at this point covers most of the country pretty well.
You found in your results that a lot of communities around the state in rural areas, smaller towns and cities did pretty well on this. What kind of things did you see?
Yeah, this was what inspired the project originally for me, is that when I'm traveling around the state going through small towns, similar to the ones that I grew up in, I recognize that many of them have these old downtowns that still have businesses thriving in them. And in some cases, they still have stores like grocery stores near the center of the town as well. And it turns out that if you look at towns with populations between 2 and 15,000, if that town is in a metropolitan area, so probably a suburb, its average walk score is 48. But if you look in micropolitan areas and rural areas, the average score is 59. And some communities are significantly higher than even that.
And you looked at the history of that, and some of it depends on when a downtown was designed.
It pretty much all comes down to that. If a town was built before the car was the dominant way that people got around, things had to be much closer together. Whereas most of our suburbs were built after the car became the dominant way of getting from point A to point B. And so they're designed with that in mind. Some of them don't even have sidewalks. You see the same thing in old cities like Milwaukee, where the neighborhoods close to downtown have a mixture of mansions and cottages near each other because both the factory managers and workers needed to be able to walk to work. Then beyond that, you run into the streetcar neighborhoods, and beyond that, the first of the car neighborhoods. And we see the same thing in small towns around the state, where the size of the lots and the location of homes to businesses, all of those density factors depend on when the town was built.
So we're going to call her at 800-642-1234. We've got a report from Superior with Jeff. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I got to tell you, a couple years ago, I started walking to and from work every day, and I topped out at 270, and now I'm down to about 220. So I've lost a few pounds, but I'm so grateful for the city of Superior because they focus on the Millennium Trail and Osage Trail. A lot of people are out walking routinely, but my favorite place to walk is Patterson State Park. You can go from the largest waterfall in Wisconsin to a little Manitou Falls. It's a 2-mile round trip. A nice place to walk any time of year.
And Jeff, can I ask, how long is your commute to work when you're walking?
About a half mile. So it's about a mile a day.
That's awesome.
All kinds of weather. So, yeah.
Jeff, thanks a lot for sharing that. The idea, I mean, this may sound like a fantasy life, John, the notion that somebody can live close enough to their work to walk to it.
Yeah. So, downtown Superior has a walk score of 68, which means that it's about the 75th best city downtowns of a city for walking in Wisconsin out of 600 communities, which I measured. So pretty good.
Jeff, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. John, what is at the top of the list?
Well, downtown Milwaukee is at the very top. That's probably not a surprise to most people. But the most remarkable thing to me is that the number two most walkable downtown in Wisconsin by this measure was Hayward. In northwestern Wisconsin, population about 2,800 people. I think most of us know it as where the Berkey Biner takes place every year.
What kind of things, so when you zoom in on the map in Hayward, say, what kind of things stand out to you? What sort of amenities and things that people can walk to are driving up this score?
You know, initially when I saw that they were so high, I thought, oh, sure, there's just a bunch of like seasonal ice cream parlors for tourists or something like that. But that was totally unfair of me. If you zoom in on downtown Hayward on Google Maps, if you aren't so lucky as to have been there in person, what you'll see is that if you were to draw a circle with a half mile diameter, within that circle, there's a large grocery store, a pharmacy, elementary and middle schools. There's a senior resource center, a therapist, two auto parts stores, a couple hardware stores, three thrift stores, a laundromat, a barber, and then a whole bunch of churches, parks, bars, and restaurants, all within a half mile radius of downtown Hayward.
Talking to John Johnson, research fellow at the Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center, about walkability ratings for downtowns of communities in Wisconsin, big and small, all over the state. John, this isn't just a curiosity for you. What do you think about the benefits of a walkable community, however we define it?
I think it's tremendously valuable for all the reasons that your first guest stated. You know, there's the personal health benefits. There's the community benefits from getting to know the people around you. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits in terms of how we can affect the climate better. But for me personally, I just like having the option of walking places. It just is just a quality of life issue. And I think it is for many people around the state, too.
Let's bring on another caller now. Buddy is with us in Marinette. Buddy, hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What city do you want to nominate for good walking?
I'd love to nominate Appleton. I've spent the last 20 years in California and San Francisco. I had the luxury of walking to my work most of the time, and got to spend last summer in Appleton, and it was just magical, like all along the river and along the downtown area. I really loved it.
Buddy, thanks a lot for sharing that. We've got the Fox Cities there. John, where did they tend to fall on the list of walkability?
And downtown Appleton is ranked 92 out of 100, which qualifies as walker's paradise by the Walk Score methodology. So your caller and the Walk Score methodology agree on that count.
Buddy, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. John, are there lessons here for cities and towns, local communities, given that their downtowns are already in place? The shapes are what they are. Are there lessons here in how they can, I don't know, try to make themselves more walkable?
You know, I think many small towns really understand what a treasure they have in terms of their downtowns. I'm aware of, you know, so many communities that have these economic development efforts to benefit those towns. And I think that's really important. There's a suburb here in the Milwaukee area called Oak Creek. It's a large suburb. It was most of the parts of it were built after people had their own cars. And they recently decided that they should have a downtown of their own. And so they built kind of a classic downtown square just in an empty field. It's got a park in the middle and a library in the town hall and then apartments above retail. And it's surrounded by parking lots because most people have to drive there, park, and then they can walk around and enjoy it. Oak Creek didn't have a downtown to start with. They had to build it. And so for all of these communities in the state that are thinking about how to attract new residents, I would say just value what you have, and to the extent that you can encourage new businesses to occupy existing real estate in that downtown core, I think that'll pay dividends down the road.
Do you want to leave us with some encouragement for people to go downtown in their own community and check out the walking scene?
It's something I love to do whenever I travel around Wisconsin. You never know what you're going to find. There's so many interesting and unique things and people in each town in Wisconsin, and walking is the best way to see them.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
John Johnson is a research fellow at the Marquette University Law School's Lubar Center. He talked with us about a recent post he wrote for the law school's blog, an analysis called "Many of Wisconsin's Rural Towns Are More Walkable Than Suburbs." You could still share your favorite places in Wisconsin, your favorite downtowns in particular, for walking. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a Wisconsin political scientist about a divide in the Republican Party over the 2020 election and the January 6th attacks on the U.S. Capitol. Big news right now at the national level and here in Wisconsin, too. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.